Happy New Year! Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. Before we get going, how about let's passing the peace and wishing your neighbors next to you and across the aisle Happy New Year! Now, if you don't mind, please resume your seats and let us sing our hymn of preparation. There are several announcements that I would like to call to your attention if you will look in the bulletin. First of all, we've got to undecorate this magnificent sanctuary. So Debbie Tharp is asking that all who can stay immediately after the worship service so we can undecorate. The Sunday school classes know what their responsibilities were, and it would be wonderful if they each class had some folks who could stay, but everybody's invited. Remember, many hands make light and quick work. So if you can stay and help undecorate, Debbie said she certainly would appreciate it. Also, I want to call to your attention something new. If you will look in the pews, you will see these neat little cards. These are the reservation cards for Hot Wednesdays. So if you would check that out, that's listed in your pew, and sign up. I'm not sure that the reservations from last semester, that lets you know my background, but from last year, I'm not sure that they're holding those same reservations. So just to be safe, how about filling out your card and putting it in the envelope or in the offering plate as it goes by, in order to make certain that they have a reservation for you on Wednesday night. And I'm not going to tell you what the program is, but it's going to be a really interesting one. So those of you who have not made reservations and plans, you need to do so. I also want you to notice that the church office is going to be closed tomorrow. That's in your bulletin. So you might want to make note if you haven't made arrangements to get your confirmation, your information into the office. You need to do that in the offering plate today. And I also want to call to your attention the annual pill packing that you will find noticed on the back of your bulletin. And finally, the circle meetings. If you have not noticed, circle meetings start back, and there is an announcement for the fellowship circle to meet in the library at 2:30. Oh, and by the way, I mentioned last Sunday, but I need to mention again that there will be a training session. Main Street is working with the Good News Club at Woodfields. We need volunteers. So there will be a training session for that. If you have any questions, you may call the church office after Monday to get any more information. But we need volunteers. It is a wonderful outreach. And I think I mentioned last Sunday, it's sort of amazing to think that there are any children in the town of Greenwood, South Carolina, who have never heard of Jesus Christ. Yeah, Honduras maybe, but not Greenwood, South Carolina. And there is a wonderful way to spread the gospel through the Good News Club. And it meets in the afternoons on Mondays from 2 to 4, and they need volunteers to continue to spread the word of Christ. Also, upper room, Richard reminded me last Sunday and I forgot. The January, February upper rooms are available. They're outside the narthex and outside this door over here. Price has gone up. for the very first time in many, many years. Just a little bit, not much. Inflation has hit everything. So if you would have not gotten your upper room, please be sure to do so. Now let us continue our service of worship as the acolyte enters with the light of Christ. Thank you.
Good morning. If you would stand for the call to worship. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen among you. Nations shall come to your light, and sovereigns to the brightness of your rising. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us, to guide our feet in the way of peace.
Thank you. Will you join me in the invocation as printed in your bulletin? God of stargazers and seekers, you led the Magi to the child at Bethlehem. Now lead us to the light of Jesus, born in a humble village, worshipped as a king. Bring us together in love for you and for one another. Give us words to praise you and voices to sing of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And now join me in the creed, also printed in the bulletin. I believe in Jesus Christ and in the power of the gospel, which began in Bethlehem. I believe in the one whose spirit glorified a small village, of whose coming the shepherds saw the sign, and for whom there was not room in the inn. I believe in the one whose life changed the course of history, for whom the kings of the earth had no power, and who was not understood by the proud. I believe in the one whom the poor, the oppressed, the discouraged, the afflicted, the sick, the blind, the leprous, gave welcome and accepted as Lord and Savior. I believe in peace, reconciliation, forgiveness, and the transforming power of the gospel. I believe that Christmas is strength and power, and that this world can change if with humility and with faith we kneel before the manger. I believe that I must be the first to do so.
Good morning. Today's reading from the Old Testament is Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. You can find this on page 844 in the Old Testament section of the Pew Bible. In this passage, Isaiah prophesies to a people just returning from exile that the day would come when all nations would stream to their light and the wealth of the nations would come to them. Listen for God's word to us. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Breathe.
As we prepare to go to God in prayer, let us remember especially those who've been in the hospital: Ruth Strock, Billy Tunstall, and Ruth Medley, who was in and out of the emergency room this past week. We would also like to extend Christian sympathy to the families of Sally Civil on her death on December 11th, to the family of Bill Nicholson on his death December 16th, to the family of Bud Engvall on his death December 18th, to the family of Jack Taylor on his death on December 27th, and to the family of David and Jeannie Patterson upon the death of David's mother, Mary Beth Patterson. Let us go to God in prayer. God of hope, we pray for those whose eyes have been so often turned to the ground, for the hurting and the homeless, the sick and the injured. May your hope enter in and help them to cast their eyes upward. We pray for your healing and your sustaining power to be upon them and upon us all. God of peace, we live in a world too often marked by chaos and strife, whether it be in homes and families, in communities, or among nations. May your life-changing, balm-providing peace be upon us. God of joy, we give you thanks for the many blessings you offer us, for moments which take our breath away and warm us from the inside out. In your mercy, continue blessing us with the gift of joy each and every day. God of love, we give thanks for the love we share with one another as human beings in this church, in our families, in this community, and in this world. Most of all, we give thanks for the love you have shown us through your Son, Jesus Christ, who was and is to come, the very symbol of love, stepping down into a broken and hurting world. May we be ever mindful of how you love us, and in turn show that love to one another. Almighty God, by the leading of a star, you manifested your only Son to the peoples of the earth. Lead us, who now know you by faith, into your presence, where we may see your glory face to face. On this day, give us a glimpse of how truly wonderful, loving, and accepting you are. Help us to enjoy you now, tomorrow, and in each day. As we remember the wise men seeking out your Son and publicly declaring to the world that he was your Son, give us the freedom to do the same. Give us the courage to adequately praise you and declare to those around you that we are yours. These things we pray in the name of Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Loving God, God of blessing, may you use these gifts that we have returned to you and bless them into your ministry, which you would have us to do. Amen. Now if the children would come forward for children's time.
Good morning. How are you? Morning. This is Epiphany Sunday, and we talk about on this Sunday the story of the three kings. Have you heard about the three kings that went to see Jesus? They're also called the three wise men. And these men were people who were really, really smart. You know, have you ever met people who are really smart? Yeah. Well, they were very smart. And they looked up in the heavens at the stars. And they tried to read the stars and the alignment of stars. We call that astrology. But they were looking at all these stars. And they saw this brilliant star that had never shown up before. And so they went to tell the king about it. And they said, we think that this is the star of the new king. And so he says, well, you go check it out. And once you find out about it, then you come back and tell me about it so that I can go and visit him. Well, the king didn't want to go visit the baby Jesus. The king was jealous of anybody who might take his place. So he meant to go see the baby Jesus and do him harm. But he was waiting for those wise men to bring that message back to him. But what happened was, the wise men, they went, they followed the star, and they saw the baby Jesus, and they knelt down, and they gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And that star had led them to Jesus. But instead of going back to the king who would have hurt Jesus, does anybody know what happened? What happened?
They stayed there.
Oh, they went a different way, right?
They went a different way.
They had a dream, and that they were told not to go back to that king, to go a different way. Take a different road. Go a different path. Don't go back to somebody who would hurt us, right, or hurt Jesus. So they were wise in a whole nother way then, weren't they? Yeah, they were wise to be able to read the stars, but they were even wiser when they listened to God, who told them to go a different way. And I brought you something today. They're little stickers. They're stars. I want you to put them on your hand. Can you put a sticker on your hand? Just on the top, right there. See there? Okay. Margaret, you want to help? And Zella, can you help? You want a yellow one? Okay. They're kind of colorful, aren't they? These are not like the star that they would have seen, but they're there just to remind us. When you look down at your hand and you see this star, okay, here you go. You want one? Here you go, put it on your hand. There you go. Everybody got one? You got a star? You don't want one?
No.
Yeah, you want one. How do you want one? We'll put one on both of them. Here we go. You got two. How about that? You want one now?
I want
yellow. Does it really matter?
No.
What color they are? Oh, there we go. Okay. Here. The point is, hold your hand up with the star on it and look at it. Look at the star, not your hand. Look at the star. Okay? See how if you hold it up, it points your hand toward the heavens? I want you to remember that the wise man looked to the heavens to see the star, and the star led them to Jesus. And so think about that star today and make sure that you're always following the star that will lead you to Jesus. And don't listen to people who would try to harm you or take you a different direction. If somebody's telling you something that's wrong, what should you do? Don't do it. Go a different way. Take a different road. Take a different turn. Listen to God and take the path that takes you to God, not to the path of the people who are foolish that are trying to pull you away. But then all of you will be wise men and women. Okay? Let's have a prayer. You repeat after me, okay? Heavenly Father, help us, please, to be like the wise men and always follow the star to you. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Our gospel lesson comes from Matthew 2nd chapter, beginning with the first verse, going through the 12th verse. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. While today is January 2nd and not January 6th, which is the day of Epiphany, today is the day we will celebrate Epiphany. Epiphany, as we talk about it in the church, means at its core the decisive appearing of God in history. And today we have just read two scriptures which point directly to this. This story we've just read from Matthew fills in some of the story of that time when God first stepped into the human story in the flesh to be born and to live among us. In that time, as the story tells us, there were men, the Magi or wise men, who looked up to the heavens, watching and waiting for signs to come to them from the sky. And when they saw the rising of the star that they knew signified the birth of a king, they set out to find this king. They began a pilgrimage, one that required following traditional signs, inquiring about the one who was born, asking directions, and meeting with some opposition. And it seems to me that this is a little like how a lot of us have probably come to Jesus. We see something, some sort of sign or revelation, something that points toward God. And then we read, and we ask questions, and we seek guidance and counsel from those who know better than we do. And of course, like the Magi, as they were met with the ill intention, King Herod, we will meet with those people and circumstances that seem to distract us from our cause, our searching and longing for fulfillment in God, whether we even realize it or not. And then, just like in the Christmas birth of Jesus, God shows up. God shows up in God's time and in God's way. You know, I really like that Christmas comes at the very end of the year, just before the beginning of the new year. And the reason that I like this is that the Advent season and Christmas convey a message and bring with them an attitude of hope and an energy for newness that is inspiring as we look towards that newness. After all, it is in the new year that we so often make commitments to ourselves to shake off the disappointments of the previous year, to look up and look forward to a new year, to see what lies ahead of us. Now granted, Friday, the last day of 2010, did not feel all that different from Saturday, the first day of 2011. In its essence, the coming of January 1st was the passing of one day to the next. But if I'm being honest, I felt a little excitement. After all, I stayed up much later than I normally do on New Year's Eve. I watched the television countdown, and I saw the ball drop in Times Square. And while watching the television, and with Matthew's second chapter bouncing around in my head in preparation for today, I was struck by a parallel image. While the TV show host talked about the Waterford Crystal light-filled ball that hung over New York City, those in earshot learned what the giant lighted ball was all about, and what it meant, and how it worked. So too the Magi, well-versed in the ways of the sky, knew all about the stars and what they meant. But the most striking image for me was the droves of people standing all around Times Square, and how in those few moments before midnight, their eyes were pointed upwards, towards the sky, looking at the ball, eagerly awaiting the moment when it would light up and start to drop and symbolize the coming of a new year. And then so too were the Magi fixed on the sky. What they saw in the sky was, in fact, a symbol of newness. But that symbol was God showing up in human history and in a very, very big way. When thinking about looking up to the sky, I am reminded of the darkest, coldest night I have ever experienced in my entire life. When I was a freshman at the College of Charleston, one of my dorm mates was taking an astronomy class. She told me that her astronomy professor was taking a group of students out of the city to see a meteor shower and asked if I wanted to go. Let me first say I was completely unprepared for this November night. We gathered in the science building, and the professor told us we'd be traveling about 45 minutes outside the city to a place where there was a big field and absolutely no lights at all anywhere near. We were not, in fact, allowed to take any lights with us. If we needed a flashlight, and this was strongly discouraged, we had to cover the flashlight with a red film because the shower was being recorded by the astronomy department. So we caravaned way outside Charleston, halfway to Edisto, to a field in the middle of absolutely nowhere. And unprepared, yet hopeful, we stretched out in the grass, awaiting the show that we'd been promised. Lying on the cold ground, surrounded by strangers whose faces I couldn't see since we weren't allowed any lights, I'll admit I was growing a bit disappointed in the experience. I didn't bring a blanket or a chair or anything that might have made it more comfortable. Within an hour, with nothing happening, several of us, still strangers, were actually huddling together for warmth. But then something absolutely amazing happened. The first streak of light across the sky literally took my breath away. And it was followed by hundreds more. And as I watched, I could not believe how much grumbling and inner discontent that I had felt and expressed while waiting, because the waiting was surely worth what we got to see that night. The oohs and ahs that could have been heard out in that field, or what I think it might have sounded like if we'd all been around at the time of creation, when God looked across that formless void that had known nothing but darkness and said, "Let there be light." Can you just imagine that feeling? I read something recently that posed the question as to why things such as this make us so excited. Why do we light the lights on the Christmas tree? Why has there been so much excitement when we light the Advent candles every week? Why do we risk stiff necks to stare at firework shows or to gaze at the clear starry night? Why does the giant full moon hanging low in the sky steal our breath right out of our lungs? And the poser of this question answered by saying this. He said, "The most obvious is that God's spark is already in you. When you were created in the first place, God put his divine light into you. We don't understand how it got there, but you have God's light inside of you." You see, we, at our creation, were made in the image of God, so it makes sense that God's light is deep within us. I had a seminary professor say to our class once that when the small, quiet, whispering word that's inside of us meets the word, that is the Son of God represented as the word, which is outside of us, meet, when the word without and the word within meet, that place, that meeting, is the substance of faith. So in that way, can you imagine what it must have been like for the Magi, these men with the small light created deep inside them, meeting with the light in the sky, which led them right to the Christ child, who was the light of the world, the hope for all creation. And while I do not know what it was like for them, Scripture does us the favor of showing how they responded. Matthew says, "When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, and they knelt down and they worshiped him. And then they opened their treasure chest and offered him gifts." Now, these gifts seemed a little peculiar for a baby, if you ask me. They weren't toy trains or lighted mobiles or all those things that we give to babies now. Gold, I suppose, that one makes sense, being a precious metal. But the others were spices and extracts, one used for incense and the other used for embalming. But then you take a step back, and when you really think about those gifts and what those gifts would have meant, you see something quite extraordinary. The gifts these wise men offered were very strong statements, confessions, actually, of who God is. Gold, the most obvious of the three, is a gift customarily given to a king. So the Magi recognized the Christ child to be the long-awaited king in the Davidic line. Frankincense was incense used by priests. Thus the Magi recognized Jesus Christ in his priestly role. In those times, the priestly role was the bridge between God and God's people, a role which we should even more fully understand Jesus to have fulfilled as his life and death and resurrection story unfolds. And the third gift, perhaps the most peculiar, is myrrh, something that would have been used for embalming in that time, which I suppose is the Magi's understanding of Jesus Christ as Redeemer, who came not only to live among the people as king and priest and teacher, but to die for them and for us. The Magi's response to God showing up and showing us the light of Christ, showing us a God who we can see and touch and feel and know, is to bow down and worship and to offer him gifts. And these gifts were not just any gifts, but gifts which boldly proclaim who God is. So what will our response be, you and I? How can you and I respond when God shows up? After all, Christmas, just last week, is the time which we recognize this amazing revelation in reality. That is, this epiphany of God. Never should it be more real to us than right now, so fresh in our minds. While pondering the new year, however, I'd like to step back and take a moment to talk about what we read from Isaiah a few minutes ago. I'll reread just a couple of verses from the 60th chapter. Isaiah says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. You shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of nations shall come to you." Those words from Isaiah seem a little strange when you consider the people who were hearing them in that time. The people being addressed have been exiled from their homes for at least 40 years. They've been sent away from their land, and what they return to when they do return, in large part, is not the land they left. Much of it is in ruins. And thinking about exile like that reminds me that dark, cold nights, like the one I described before, are not always literal ones. But you see, the word from Isaiah, just like the message of the wise men in Matthew, is this: lift up your eyes and look around. Look up and you shall see the light of God stepping into this world and making all things brand new. I don't mean to say to forget about 2010 or that 2010 was bad and we should move past it. What I do mean is to celebrate God's amazing opportunity for newness. So again, I ask, as we recognize this opportunity, and as we look up and look forward, what will our response be? What will we resolve to do? Resolve is the word I choose because this week, I am more than certain that we will each hear each other's New Year's resolutions, those things which we will commit to doing in the new year that we didn't do so well in the last. Sure, many of us will make these resolutions and promptly forget them. But this is the one challenge I ask you to think about, to make, and to keep. I challenge you to think about what gift you bring, what gift that you offer, which will proclaim for the world who God is. Some of you have the gift of empathy, the ability to open your heart wider than some others of us could ever even imagine doing. And you may offer that gift and mission to this community or elsewhere, working with the hurting or the homeless, or whoever else it is that you work with. And as you offer that gift, you boldly proclaim God as the God of love and compassion. Now, some of you have the gift of medicine. And when your gift is directed toward the glory and honor of God, you boldly proclaim a healing and sustaining God. Some of you teach and boldly proclaim the wonderful and wise counselor. We are each gifted in a few or in many ways, and God calls us to use these gifts, use them for God's glory and for the building of the kingdom of God. When we look to the heavens, full of hope and longing for fulfillment, may we always recognize the light of Christ that is above us, around us, and within us. And may we shine that light in such a way as to reveal God's work in us and who God is for us and for all the world. In the name of God, who is our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Now will you stand for the final hymn, number 251. Is a responsive benediction found in your bulletin. God will give us courage to leave familiar ground.
And guide us as we bring to others God's gift of love.
The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Amen.
Amen.